The opinions and views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management or ownership of KTMP 1340.
Welcome to Impact, exposing the issues, investigating the facts with guests and commentary on the issues that affect you and your search for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now, Impact.
All right, we're back after that, and we're having conversations, of course, today with Mr. Mike Davis, who happens to be the Wasatch County manager, and we appreciate him stopping by. In fact, Mike, as I recall, we've scheduled you now for a number of months to come in and give us a little report of what's going on in the county, and to allow us to ask you some questions of things that that make us, as you pointed out earlier in the program, go, huh?
Well, this is good to discuss these things. And, you know, a lot of times we don't have all the information or we just don't agree on things, and that's fine. Well, but they need to be talked about, so, hey, that's good.
The fact that we don't doesn't change anything. I mean, I guess I don't know how we get this out to people that you can discuss things that you really don't agree on, but you don't become disagreeable on it. You just walk away after the discussion and you go, we disagree. And unless some new facts and figures present themselves, I guess we'll continue to disagree. But it's not an issue that you take personally and decide now that I'm going to go burn a letter in the front of your yard or do something else. I mean,
or
people
more,
will just
maybe
drive
more
you crazy.
To the point, what happens is lie. Yeah. People love to do that now because sometimes things are boring when they're the truth. And
you're right. Sometimes finding the truth is very, very tough. Anyway, so when we left, we were just talking about a grant request for cowboy poetry. And I see where we've got some, we've got some other things on the agenda, and I just wanted to touch upon them just a little bit.
Sure.
One of them, that the public defender's contract, you mentioned just previously that's sort of everybody who wants that sort of applies, and it's like a bid process.
Yes, it's exactly a bid process.
What does that cost us roughly to have a public defender? And I know that it's required by, I guess, state and federal to some degree, but what does that cost us as citizens to have a public defender, and why? And explain to our citizens why we even have a public defender.
Well, we're required by law to have a public defender to represent those that cannot represent themselves when they're charged with a crime. We issue two contracts. One's the public defender contract. The other is the conflicts attorney contract. Let's say that two individuals are arrested for something. The public defender cannot represent both of them. You cannot be, because there may be a conflict between them. We're then required to offer this conflicts attorney to represent the second person. It can get very expensive depending on the nature of the crime and other things. If it gets into a murder trial situation, it can cost us a lot more than if it's not. The conflicts attorney is going to cost us in the neighborhood of, I believe it's $70,000 to $80,000, somewhere in that range for a year. Okay, and that person has the responsibility to take on certain cases and do that for that fixed fee. The conflicts attorney, however, is based on an hourly basis, and so it may be zero, or it may be a whole bunch if there's a lot of conflicts. And so normally in a year, we're looking at between $100,000 to $130,000, $140,000 is what that costs us during the year process. So it's, you know, people sometimes struggle with that because we are representing criminals and convicted criminals, other things like that. And for instance, on the case, we had the conviction on the murder trial of the individual up at Jordanelle a few years ago. We went through that trial. We did get a conviction. We had to fund an appeal. That's required by law. In any capital murder case, we are required to fund an appeal. So we did. That's separate from the conflicts attorney or public defender.
Do we see people who are applying for that? Are they our local attorneys that we have, or do we see
people
from
outside? We have some
local
and we have some outside.
So what happens, just a curiosity before we move on, let's say that someone is charged with a crime and the public defender knows them very well and has a conflict, and your conflict attorney has a conflict. Now, does that behoove the county to go out and hire someone else to represent
them?
Yeah, we... And that's sort of an additional amount of money?
We'll actually rank our conflict attorneys, and we'll have a number one, a number two, a number three, so we can go down the ladder if we need to. Usually, we haven't had an issue getting past where we look yet.
Okay. Well, I think that our listeners need to understand that, you know, there's a lot of things involved in running county government that, you know, citizens we may disagree with and may not like, but we're all sort of mandated by law that we do it.
And I guess I have a little bit different perspective on it. Even though I may think that person is guilty, I may think that person is not worthy of other things, I think it also protects our law, because our law is based upon providing constitutional analysis of people. They're innocent until proven guilty, and so I think we all have in our mind the picture of a less than appropriate attorney defending a less than desirable person, and we have that burned in our image. You know, it's not always that, and it is a process we go through. Like it or not, we do it.
One of the other things I see on the budget, too, is we've got a couple of public hearings coming up. But one of them that really is interesting to me is 16.04. And for our listeners, that's sort of dealing with open space and common area. What do you remember, any changes that are coming up that? Does that pass through your office, at least, to look at?
Let me tell you some issues we have.
Okay.
And we don't have the answer. That's we're going to talk about trying to find the answer.
It's a public hearing, yes.
We had a development that was developed with what's considered common area. And what common area is an area that's not ascribed to a parcel for building. Let's say that there's five lots in a subdivision, and then there's some property in between them, and it's called common area. That property, the value of that property and the ownership of that property is distributed to the five lot owners. Okay? So let's say there's a golf course, and then there's property lots around it, and that's common area. That golf course is owned by those property owners. The value of that golf course, if somebody goes up and appraises their property, there's a piece of that value that goes into there. That's common area. And it's generally been considered restrictive for building of things, okay? Well, this last year, well, 2 years ago, we had a development come to us. It's the development's done, there's common area, and they said, well, we want to do something with our common area, we want to build something on it, you know. And so then we start scratching our head and we say, well, if somebody builds something on there, a building, the county can't tax that building because it's on the common area, and the value of the common area is then distributed to the property owner. So there's not a direct tax on it, and I'm not sure that's fair. So we look at that issue. Now put common area aside and say, okay, we have open space. Now, open space is generally considered like a parcel. So let's say there's five lots, and then there's some space in between that's not, and it's considered a lot, but it's an open space lot, and it's taxed. And so the tax goes to the homeowners association, and every year we'd levy the tax. Well, in the last 3 years, we've had innumerable subdivisions say, we're not going to pay that tax. So now what happens to a parcel when the tax isn't paid, and I'm oversimplifying this a little bit, but after 5 years, it goes to the tax sale. Well, why would the county, number one, want to sell the parcel that can't be built on, that's open space in between these others? And number two, why would we want to take it as ownership? Mm-hmm. Which is more likely what happens, is the county ends up owning it, and then there's no tax to be paid. And how do you force these property owners to pay the tax on their open space that benefits them, obviously? And so that's the gist of the discussion. How do we come up with a process to have open space, but either not allow, if it is open space that's protected, not have structures put on it that we can't tax, that's not restricted, or if it is open space, that they pay the taxes on the open space. Now, tax is taxed at a lower level. It's taxed as an open space. It's not taxed as buildable property or commercial property or anything else. So those are the issues we've got to resolve this, because it's not working. The system isn't quite working.
Okay, so 1604 is a proposal to correct the situation, and then when you're talking about the Stillwater Master Association, is that the same problem that they're getting an abatement, or is that something different?
Well, it was similar. It was related. Okay. What happened, and Stillwater is kind of an odd duck, because it was done long enough ago. When it was done, they granted a density determination, and then as the development progressed, they would carve a chunk out of this overall and say, okay, this is phase one, this is phase two, and these chunks. Well, what wasn't developed was labeled open space. And it was considered not common area, but as a lot. So that open space kept shrinking. Well, it finally got to the point that Stillwater is developed out, or at least the phases are identified, and the open space that is left was being taxed at the same rate as the undeveloped property was being taxed. So it was being overtaxed, essentially. And it also wasn't actually correct, because pieces had been taken out. There were little slivers and dots and pieces everywhere that, when they show up, they have to be taxed. Every parcel has to be taxed by law. Well, we've got a sliver of a tenth of an acre somewhere that's being taxed. You can't really see it, but because of the way the surveys are done, or pieces were carved off. So this is fixing all of that. It's taking a final plat and saying, this is the final plat. Here's the open space. The homeowner association is saying, if we get the value adjusted correctly, we agree we'll pay the taxes, because we benefit from it. So it's been a kind of a win-win deal to resolve this issue.
Will this issue also resolve the issue that we have with the Sorensen development, which was a ton of open space in it, and there's been, you know, move to say, well, that couldn't be open space, we got to move it here. And also we had one, and I know it's in the city, and that's the Red Ledges, but they also came up, I mean, the county's involved because but they also came up with adjustments of open space that they said, well, that's really too good of land to give up as open space. We need to do something else now.
So this is an attempt to address those issues. I don't know if we're going to get there, but we're going to try to get there to address some of these issues that we've learned over time don't work.
Yeah, well, you know, and we learned that in the 80s as well. People forget that the part of Valley Hills that was created in the 70s had a ton of these lots in there. And I mean, they were good-sized lots.
They become nuisance.
And so what the city decided to do was, we'll let the people who are abutting up to those lots, they had to put them under a bid, which I thought was ridiculous, because you could always get somebody just out of spite who wanted to go in there and bid a price just so he'd say he had it. But for the most part, they were purchased by people who had lots of button up to them, and they just added it to their piece of property, and they were taxed, and away they went, and everybody was happy.
Yep.
So there is a way to solve it, and I can understand where you're coming from. And I've seen this as we followed this, because in certain developments, the open space is required. But they do nitpick it to death and try to do this and say, well, wait a minute, we need 10 feet to make this lot work.
Yes, exactly.
And back and forth. And I'm with you. I think once you put it on the Mylar and you get it registered in the courthouse, it's permanent. Let's don't mess around with this stuff. That's the way I feel about lots and building things, and we're already seeing it in the city with, we got to make an adjustment out here at the Boyer development by Walmart because we missed it by this much and that much. No, I'm saying it's written in stone, it's in stone, that's the end of it. Anyway, I'm glad that you're going to take care of that, because I think it's a big issue.
I'm not to that point where...
It's going to come back to haunt us in the Sorensen deal if they ever decide that they're going to do whatever it is that they're going to do.
So, and speaking of land use planning, how are applications coming for replacements or for vacancies on your Planning Commission Board Adjustment?
We've only received a couple applications so far, so I don't have enough applications to... I really debated whether to put it on the agenda this week, but we only have a couple applications in, so we need more.
Okay, so, people.
No, well, wait a minute. Let's ask this question, though, because that was a question you and I were talking about. For instance, you take Mr. Brown... And his appointment to the Planning Commission is up on the 31st of December. Now, my question to you is, as the county manager, do you allow Mr. Brown to continue until we find his replacement? Is that what's written in the law? Or does Mr. Brown on the 31st go, adios, we'll see you, and the Planning Commission starts functioning short one person?
Both situations have happened. I'm not disagreeable if a person helps us out for a little. It's the vacation of the slot is what's vacated. And so on a temporary basis, if the council agrees that that person continue till we replace it, I don't have a problem with that. There are individuals that just say, I'm not interested anymore, I'm done, and goodbye. And that's why we have some alternates as well, so that those alternates can step up and then fill those slots so that decisions can be made. So, but I did correct the thing on the web. We got that done.
I saw that. I was very impressed.
Also, we put the budget on there. I hope you looked at it.
And also, you got precinct elections results by precinct up on the website. Doing well.
So we're trying. Good.
Yeah,
there is a lot of work.
Sometimes
to that,
you're
though.
Very trying.
Yes, sometimes we are extremely trying. My wife tells me that all the time.
Well, I appreciate that. That's good to get that information up there.
Well, you know, you're talking to a couple of guys here, Mike, that believe that we know that putting up things on a website or takes some time and energy. But if just two people benefited from it, as far as we're concerned, it's well worth it. Because trying to get the information out, as you well know, is very tough in this community. You advertise, you put it out, you make posters, you fly planes around pulling banners. You can do anything. And you'll always run into those people going, I didn't know they were having this meeting. I didn't know they were discussing this. And so you sit and scratch your head and you keep thinking, so how in the devil do we get this information out? Oh, Mike. Okay, Mike. You want to explain how they put in an application for the plan?
They can. I believe the application itself is available on the web, but they come into my office. Jamie Taylor, my secretary, has them a stack of them right there. They can fill them out there, or fill it out previous and just bring it in and identify. Now we have a few things. We have Board of Adjustment available as well, and some other things. So if they come in and identify which they're after, and you know, one issue I've got right now, I've got received an application from an individual I don't even know who it is, so I've got to do a little bit of work to find out. I think I need to know a little bit about people before I can recommend that person. So we'll do a little
bit.
But
volunteering is a good start for it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
And some of the service that you will render on a Board of Adjustment or a Planning Commission is very good service.
It is.
And there are days you walk away from that, even after you've gone through the battle, and you go, you know, we made a difference. We did something.
Then there are days you wish you weren't there. But
exactly. There's days you wish the meeting was canceled long before you got there.
It does take time. It does. It is an inconvenience.
Oh, yeah.
But most service does take time. And so but like other service, it's usually worthwhile.
I have one question. I know Bob may have a couple, but I just wanted to get this in and then I'll be quiet, and that is, so where as a county are we going? What do you view in your crystal ball for us as a county in 2014, 2013? Are we going to see some major something happen? Is the county proposing something that's going to change the dynamics of what we do as a county? Where are we going?
Well, my personal crystal ball, just mine, not anybody else's.
All right.
I don't see the type of growth that we've had in the past happening for the foreseeable future. We will have growth, but I don't see the explosive growth that we experienced. I think what we'll see is a further an increase in development of the resort possibilities in the Jordanelle, as well as in the Lower Valley. I think we're going to see an increase of that. I think we'll see some hotels built, some other things. And I think the county will generally facilitate that. It generally fits the plan that's been in place for a long time. So I don't see many restrictions or holdbacks there. I see a little bit more concern of public lands and how public lands are used. We're going to see some fights there. As far as available resources, whether it's oil drilling or windmills or whatever it is on public lands, I think we're going to see more and more battles.
In some cases, we have enough windmills right now.
I'm just saying.
You know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
That is certainly going to happen. I mean, you know, we're looking at some power transmission lines right now that potentially come through the county. I mean, we're just going to see several of these things come up that we're going to be dealing with on a heavier basis.
Speaking of the transmission line, isn't that one of the items on the
agenda? On the agenda for tomorrow, there's going to be
a
report on what they're doing, and it's going to be not in the center of the valley. It's going to be out in Current Creek, Soldier.
This is out in the Current Creek, Soldier Creek area, or potentially. There are several alignments proposed. And
that's a big line, too.
It's a big line, and it happens to be coming from a windmill farm up in Wyoming or something like that. So more and more, this is going to be an issue. I think those are the biggies that the county is going to be dealing with. Certainly, we have a question right now on form of government we'll be dealing with over the next year to 2 years. I don't know where that's headed exactly, and potentially could see some changes there. So as far as services, don't see a lot of changes. Not seeing much change in any of that. So that's my crystal ball.
Is there a push among the county council to perhaps build themselves a new building for county services, or to remodel where they're at out there by the sheriff's office and add more to that space?
You know, there's several proposals. One, the state is looking at expanding the courts building. We lease that building to the state for the courts. That helps pay the bond. For that, the bond will be paid off here in a couple years. They're looking at the need to expand. They don't have enough court capacity with what, once again, law enforcement and other things, it's out of control in some areas, and we have to respond. If that were to happen, we would probably look at some expansion on the sheriff's office. We have the capability. The building was designed to expand a courtroom. The building was designed to expand jail cells.
That's why the space is so big.
Exactly. As far as for administrative purposes, the county owns a lot of buildings. It's not the most functional system to have, to be spread out like we are. I think we use them to a fair extent the best we can. And there's been talk, what do we do? Do we move, consolidate? Do we build a new building out? We own the property, all that property out by the courthouse. We could easily build a administrative building there. But right now, I'm not an advocate of that. We do fine with the building we own. The building we own is built in the 60s. It's not a great building from a function standpoint, but we've kept up on maintenance, the roof's good, the boiler's good, you know, those types
but
of things.
Works.
And it works. Yeah. And it generally functions well for us at this point. If we start, at some point when we start to grow again at a faster rate, we'll have to look at that to expand that. I don't see us needing to do that at this point. I don't see any big projects on the horizon. We've kind of done the projects we want to do. Now, the swimming pool issue may come up. That will be a voter initiative. It will not be driven by the government per se. We will facilitate what the voters want to do if that comes to fruition. If that happens, it'll happen down on the old fairgrounds. We'll have some work down there. We're going to rehabilitate that area where the old rodeo grounds were, become soccer fields, whatever. Or if we build a swimming pool, then that'll go in there. So, but that'll be voter driven. It'll have to be off of an initiative.
If we don't have anything more for Mike, I'd like to give a little report on the results of the audit that they did on the Heber Light and Power.
Oh, yes.
Over that.
Let's do that.
Okay.
We have a few minutes. Do that.
Yeah. This just came in yesterday. They completed their audit, and they've sent a letter back to the Heber Light and Power about the idea that they could vote themselves health benefits.
Go ahead.
Anyway, the end result from this three-page letter that they sent to me yesterday as one of the people who were asking for the study is that they studied it, and they didn't really come up with definite conclusions of the legality, but their conclusion says, and I can kind of quote it, they recommend we contact the Attorney General's office and seek clarification of laws through legislation. So they're saying there may be problems with it, and they quote a bunch of laws, And then they also say that a public hearing should have been held to vet the decision by the board to participate in the entity's health insurance plan. Because it was not, the policy should be voided until the appropriate procedures have been followed.
Good.
So that's good not findings. I mean, that's a fairly good conclusion. It doesn't say the policy should be voided and the money should have been returned. It doesn't specifically say that, but voiding a policy would kind of indicate that to me, because that's what I want to believe it says.
Well, you know, so, we got Al Capone, but he didn't return any money, but we still got
Yeah, anyway. But it's not, they certainly didn't come back and report, hey, you guys did nothing wrong. It's three pages, and we'll post it up on the website someplace here, so anybody who wants to read the whole thing.
And I think everybody ought to read that, because it does touch upon the law, and they are asking. In fact, through their statements, and I don't want to take this away from you, Bob, but through their statements, they're sort of posing some questions that need to be answered.
Yeah.
So
they're saying, at the worst, the whole thing needs to be clarified so everybody knows what in the world the situation is. Because that's what happens an awful lot of time with law, because you keep changing it for different organizations that we don't really know. And then we got people cross-jumping into other organization, and which applies their thing as the elected official, as their board serving, or whatever. So it's an interesting thing, and I'm fairly well satisfied with the response. I wish it had been a little stronger.
I would hope that all public entities, and Mike, with you sitting here, it's not a direct to the county, but I would hope that all public entities see the fact that the public hearings are important. So here is the state auditor saying, you know what, these people didn't hold a public hearing. Anything that they've done, that they have done in which they should have held a public hearing, should be rescinded. Start over. King's X, you're done. You can't go and do these things without notifying the public on what is happening and what's going on. And I would hope that all entities take this to heart and you know, change what they're doing in some cases and continue doing what they're doing in some other cases. That we hold public hearings, that the citizens know what the devil is going on. Anyway, with that.
And if you come to the public hearing, don't be afraid to ask a question, because a lot of times they're not asked.
Yeah. Right.
And frankly, we maybe just don't even realize we need to tell the answer if it's not asked. So I know last year, I know Pam came and the discussion came, we'd like to know what all boards you all are on. That's just something they've divided up in the past. There's a whole, I mean, we put them up on the whiteboard, and then they want to know, well, which ones are you compensated for, and we put that up, and what the compensation, and that's fine. Nobody, there wasn't any issue with putting that out, so.
And well, I think we agree there should be no secrets.
It'd be better if we're all posted on a website. You say, here's the board, here's on it, here's what the pay is, or not.
Here's who you
everybody
can see
knows.
If you got a problem.
Transparent.
Yeah, exactly. Mike, it's good to see you again.
Good to be here.
And we appreciate you coming in and talking with us. And we've got you scheduled out for a few more months in advance to come in and do that.
That'll be good.
And to our listeners, we appreciate Mike Davis, the county manager, coming in and talking to us. And we appreciate you joining with us on this Tuesday for the Impact Program, which is coming to you from KTMP 1340. And we will see you tomorrow on Wednesday.
You've been listening to Impact, coming to you Monday through Thursday.